back west of the great divide. I want to hear the coyotes howling while the sun sinks in the west. I want to be a cowboy sweetheart. That's the life that I love best.
Well, you can yodel all you like, but I'm afraid that glorifying the rodeo lifestyle doesn't convince me. Dominating and subjecting innocent horses, bulls, steers and calves to pain and fear, and sometimes death, for entertainment purposes, is not my idea of fun nor glamour. This so-called cultural event is not cultural to New Zealand. It's not even cultural to the United States. Rodeos originated in Mexico. The Spanish-sounding word rodeo comes from a Latin root, meaning going around and around. If you have doubts that it causes fear and injury to the animals, then listen closely to today's interview with veterinary doctor, lawyer and pathologist, Dr. Peggy Larson, who has some specific information about injuries rodeo causes to animals. We'll hear part one today, and part two will be broadcast next week. Also on today's show is spokesperson for Direct Animal Action, Apollo Tato, who speaks with Paul Judge about the peaceful demonstration planned at the upcoming Waikato Rodeo in Kihikihi. I hope local listeners to Safe and Sound will be able to join us in our opposition to the particular and targeted abuse that animals are subjected to in rodeo. Nō mai, haere mai. Ko Sandra Kailaho, and you're with Safe and Sound, New Zealand's animal rights radio show. Our sponsors are Village Organics, and their lovely shop stocks lots of vegan produce, so be sure to pay them a visit in Commerce Street, Frankton, opposite the Frankton Hotel. We'll start today with Paul's interview with Apollo.
I'm speaking with Apollo Tato today, spokesperson for Direct Animal Action, who has been quite heavily involved in the anti-rodeo demonstrations. Welcome, Apollo.
Talofa, welcome. Good to be on.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Now, I understand that you've been quite involved in the anti-rodeo movement, or rodeo movement, as some people say. What's sort of driving the opposition to it, and is it getting bigger, the opposition, as you've noticed?
Yeah, we've had such a big interest, and it's been really encouraging. Our Walkworth one, we had over 100. In the Mid-Northern one, we had over 70, so we're expecting a really good turnout for our Waikato. Okay. And I know other protests across the country are having some really good representation as well, too.
Okay. And so what's the general feeling out there? What's sort of driving the feeling against rodeo?
I think the main driver is the New Zealand public have seen the footage coming out season after season, and they just don't agree with it, and they don't think it's a part of our culture. It's not a part of 2018 New Zealand.
And so what are some of the worst things that have happened? I know that there was a bull that got a bit of press lately that died. It broke its leg. It was suffering for 10 minutes and then they had to drag it away and euthanise it.
The worst for us is obviously the death of any animal. Yeah. And that bull that died, and it's quite sad that we don't even know the name of the bull, and it's quite sad to keep referring just the bull that passed away on the 2nd of Feb. And we had a witness there that reported in. So there's an investigation by SPCA at the moment. And I think it just highlights to us, again, the lie that cowboys put out there that animals are not hurt in the rodeos. And it shows that the rodeo code is failing and allows animals to suffer in these events.
And the SPCA, are they actively involved in it, or is it really the domain of the MPI?
It's really the domain of the MPI. But we've seen a lot more of a firm stance from SPCA saying that they're against rodeos, which is really encouraging and was really good. And again, it highlights the consensus from across New Zealand, from various organisations and people's backgrounds, that they just don't think that this is the right thing to do and it's not part of our culture.
Yeah, and of course Dr. Peggy Larson's been getting a bit of press lately, the American former rodeo rider herself. Who's been involved in the veterinarian industry, who's now saying that they cause a lot of unknown injuries and things that don't get noticed, especially the calf roping. That's the worst, isn't it?
Yep. Yep, and they're probably the, and Peggy herself doesn't like that part of the rodeo. And so I know that any bull, I know that the bull that they're really looking at the worst parts of the rodeos is looking at flank straps and the calf roping as well.
Mm.
And you just think about any, if that was any sort of baby animal like a pet, like a cat or dogs, you know, we wouldn't be putting up with that in New Zealand.
No, no. I feel exactly the same when I see these fishing programs of them,
yep,
big game fishing, and they're holding these marlin and these beautiful marine creatures on these lines for hours, you know, torturing them.
Yep.
If you did that to a domestic animal like a dog, you'd end, yep, up in jail.
And yeah, exactly.
These people call it a sport. What are your thoughts on it being a sport, and is it suitable for the 21st century New Zealand?
Look, it's not suitable, and again, that's why the public have had enough of it.
Mm.
The cowboys keep saying it's part of our history, our culture. It's not. It's something that started in the US and Mexico. And we've moved on past all those sort of activities. They used to consider dog fighting, bear baiting, and cock fighting sports.
That's right.
And again, the public just doesn't associate with it and doesn't think that's the right thing to do.
Mm.
If you think about, you know, the moral impact that's having on New Zealanders as well too. You know, we're so against bullying in any forms, but we've got this element of bullying occurring in our backyard or in our culture. And what sort of mixed message is that sending out to our younger New Zealanders, that bullying's not good, any form of bullying, but then we allow this sort of bullying to happen to baby animals or to all those animals?
Oh, look, I'm glad you brought that up. That's a big concern for me, is this, the fact that all the discussions around bullying, you know, playground bullying and all the rest of it, online bullying, there's never any mention of bullying of animals, hardly ever, right, in the mainstream press, so it's great.
Mm.
Now, what about your relationship to farmers? I understand that they're providing the animals, and a lot of them, the rodeo participants themselves are farmers, aren't they? What's your message to farmers?
I think, you know, our farmers, our Kiwi farmers, pride themselves on, you know, they say they treat the animals like their family, and I think we're starting to see a bit of a split in that community as well, too. There's a risk there for farmers and actually agribusiness as well, because, you know, New Zealand is considered leaders in animal welfare, and rodeos, by their very nature, puts a contrast or contravenes that animal welfare and actually puts our reputation to lie, because it's an embarrassment that this happens and we talk about us looking after our animals and with such a good clean image to their environment. And so there's some risk there for farmers being associated with rodeos, you know, to their businesses, to the commerce there.
Mm, yeah, good point, good point. Look, this is a short interview, unfortunately. I'd like to speak to
you
for much longer, but the next big protest is happening at Kihikihi, is that right?
That's right. So that's on Saturday the 17th of
February.
Mm-hmm. It's from 1 to 2. So that's the advantage of what I like, what DAA do, or Direct Animal Action,
yeah,
is they run really deliberate, short protests, and we're really looking for that reach on digital space and just out in the public on media as well too. So it just gives that window for first-timers to any sort of animal activism or protest,
yeah,
which is really good. We're seeing a lot of new faces and people just wanting to say, step up to rodeos. So it just provides that medium for people to come out in a safe space to speak up and say no to rodeos across New Zealand.
That's fantastic. And what are the details for people who want to get involved? How do they find out about it?
So you can look us up on our Facebook page. We've got the details there on the event page. So as you said, it's at the Kiki, the main corner of Grey and Dick Street.
And then again, your Facebook page is called?
Yeah, Facebook, Direct Animal Action.
Direct Animal Action, okay.
Yeah, and just look up for the events there.
Okay, thank you so much, and I hope that some of our listeners can get along to that on the 17th, Saturday the 17th, 1 to 2 p.m., I understand.
Yep. That's right.
And that's when you'll be having your protest, at the actual grounds or outside on the road?
We'll be outside.
Outside, yep, on the road, yeah.
Yep.
All right, and do you guys get involved in filming as much as you can, with undercover filming of these events?
There are other elements of the group that do that, and obviously it's getting a lot harder now.
Yeah.
The cowboys are trying to prevent that footage coming out, because they, you know, try to keep that lie going that they don't hurt animals.
Mm.
But there's a lot of brave souls out there that still go in there.
Yeah. They don't like transparency, do they?
No.
Those people.
No. As much as they talk about the truth and transparency, they don't.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
Hey, look, great to talk to you, Apollo. I'm really pleased that we could talk to you, and we'll talk to you again in the future.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
It would be really lovely to have some of our listeners come and stand with us in Kihikihi on the 17th of February from 1 to 2 p.m. to peacefully demonstrate your opposition to animal cruelty. I will put up the exact details of the demonstration on my Facebook page. And as Apollo said, you can go to Direct Animal Action's Facebook page, click on their events page, and all the information will be there for you as well. I do hope we can equal the large numbers that they've been getting elsewhere in New Zealand at these demonstrations. I know that Dunedin had a successful anti-rodeo turnout just a week or so ago. And so now for our interview with Dr. Peggy Larson, who was recently on our shores. And she impressed everyone with her knowledge and her commitment and her good nature. You may have heard her being interviewed on Saturday morning with Kim Hill or a number of other interviews she did when she was here. She spoke to me last week before we heard about the death of the bull that Apollo referred to. I began by welcoming her to New Zealand and asking her what she thought of it.
Yes, I am in New Zealand, and I love New Zealand. I want to stay here. I don't want to leave.
That's good. We want to keep you.
I have met some of the nicest people on the planet, and you're just amazing people here.
Lovely of you to say so. I think SAFE brought you out here for the purpose of campaigning against rodeo because of your high profile and your particular qualifications and experience. I think you've been doing a lot of interviews since you came here.
Well, yes, I have. I think what they needed, it's kind of like the cherry on top of a sundae, you know. All that sundae has been put together by all these people, and I'm just a garnish. I just happen to be a veterinarian who has been a rodeo bareback rider. I'm also a lawyer. I have a master's degree in pathology. So I have enough tools to work with to help everybody here move this movement forward.
You have an unusual combination of qualifications, haven't you?
Well, it is a little different, but you know, I've been on this planet for a while, and you know, everybody moves forward in different directions to accomplish what they want to accomplish.
So you're talking with us today basically to discuss rodeo. And yes, just to put our listeners in the picture, can you please outline the events that are held in rodeo? There are a number of different events.
Well, I think that the most prevalent one, the ones that are probably the most damaging to the animal, would be calf roping, bronc riding, bareback and saddle, steer wrestling, and then the bull riding.
Mm. We had some bulls a couple of years ago. Two bulls died, didn't they?
Yes, I think there were some fractured legs, and we lose them. Well, for instance, the rodeo in Calgary, Canada, they lost six animals in one rodeo. Of course, that's a very large rodeo, but it's not unusual. Over the since the 70s, they've lost, I think, 84 animals have died in that rodeo up in Calgary. So, you know, there's quite a number of animals that are killed each year in rodeos.
And rodeo in New Zealand, how is it different from rodeo in the U.S.?
Well, you know, I've looked at all the videos, and they're all the same. I mean, every event that I've seen on the videos or that I've seen on TV are basically identical to what I experienced when I rode bareback horses back in the 50s. So nothing has changed. It's still an 8-second ride. You still have to drive those spurs in at every jump. Mm. They still have the bucking strap. They still have saddle bronc and bareback. Still have the team roping. They have the steer wrestling, calf roping, nothing's changed. It's all about the value of the ride. In the bucking events, it's 50 points on the horse and 50 points on the rider. Mm. So it's all the same. It's still 50 points, you know.
Yeah. Riders want points, don't they? And what do those points translate into? Is it money or prestige or what?
Well, first of all, money, and second of all, sure, there's prestige involved with it too, because take a bronc rider, bareback bronc rider, the man who gets the most points over the course of the rodeo season is going to be the one that gets the trophy for being the best bronc rider in that particular field.
Mm. When I knew I was talking to you again, Peggy, I went on to some pro rodeo sites, you know, Facebook pages and so on, and I saw your name come up quite a bit just lately. And, of course, they're saying that rodeo practices do not really hurt the animals at all, that real injuries are rare, that animals enjoy the experience, and they make quite a big deal of saying how much they love and treat their animals well. Do you want to comment on that?
Oh my goodness, I hope you've got the next 24 hours here because this can be a long discussion. Well, first of all, the injuries that are seen, the injuries that are noted by the veterinarian that's on duty at the rodeo or the agent from one of the humane societies, the injuries that they record are the injuries that are seen. These are the broken legs, the hoof that was torn off this one horse here a while back. So they report this, but they don't see the injuries that are not visible. And I'll give you an example. In calf roping, that calf breaks out of the chute as fast as it can go. It is roped by the neck. It is stopped cold. The horse stops, the rope tightens, the head stops, and the body keeps going. Mm-hmm. So you have 250 pounds of weight that's pulling on that neck. This stretches the ligamentum nuchi. It causes hemorrhages in the tissues in the neck, a damage to the cartilages in the neck. There's a research paper out by Dr. Robert Bay. He is a veterinarian at Colorado State University. And he has autopsied these calves that have been used in roping. And he describes these injuries very succinctly, the hemorrhages, the ecchymosis, the damage to the cartilage. And, of course, these people who are watching these animals be roped, they aren't seeing this. It's covered up with hair. You know, they don't see this. You have to see this on autopsy. But Dr. Bay was saying that because these animals are roped over and over and over again, these tissue lesions do not get a chance to heal. So you're damaging the calf by re-roping it several times, and because it doesn't have a chance to heal, the injuries are more painful and they get worse. So. Yeah, if they say that these animals are injured based on what they see, then they're missing about 90% of what's going on. And it's the same thing with horses. When you drive the spurs into the shoulder of a horse like they do in the bareback contest, well, let me back up for a minute. At home, I tried an experiment. I laid on the floor and I kicked into a bathroom scale, and I could kick 50 pounds. Now, I'm a 5'3" 130-pound woman. You can imagine the amount that could be kicked into that scale if I were a 5'10" muscular young man. Probably could kick easily 70 pounds. Now, when you put 70 pounds or 50 pounds of pressure from the kick into that metal that you're driving into that horse's shoulders, it would be like me taking and hitting you on a thumbnail with a hammer. You're going to see some damage to your thumb. If I hit 50 pounds, I can guarantee you it's going to hurt, and you're probably going to get some hemorrhage. But nobody has ever looked at that because there's hair covering the shoulders, so they never see it. But these riders have to do this. They have to spur these animals on every jump or they do get disqualified. Now, a researcher by the name of Dr. Lydia Tong from Australia studied the skin depth, the skin thickness, and the nerve supply to the skin of horses. It wasn't for particularly rodeo, but she was just looking to see what the skin was like in horses. And she found two things. In many areas, the skin of the horse is thinner than the human.
Wow.
And not only that, but in some areas of the horse, there are more nerve endings under the skin than there are in a human. So if you're looking at the horse's abdomen, for instance, there isn't a whole lot of motor nerves there because about all that skin does, it can flick when there's a fly on there. You know, it'll vibrate. But most of the nerves in that part of the body are sensory nerves. This is because an animal is a prey animal. So if there's any damage to that part of the abdomen, they got to get away from it because, you know, if it's a mountain lion or something, they can die. So this skin is very sensitive. And even when I was currying or brushing my own horses, they were always a little sensitive around the flank area. Well, this is where the flank strap goes. Yeah. And then around the shoulders, that's where the spurring occurs. So you're driving these metal spurs into this horse at least 50 pounds into skin that's as thin as ours. So can you imagine how that would feel if I spurred you and the calf on your leg?
It's horrible. The thing with the flank strap on these sites that I've been investigating, they say that the flank strap is not tied tightly, and it's maybe a mild irritant, but it doesn't really bother the horse.
Part of that is true. if you tighten that flank strap too tight on a bovine animal, a bull, he will lay down. Vets use that to lay bovine animals down sometime, like if I was going to sew up a teat or something like mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. On a horse, it's a little different. But no, the flank strap doesn't create pain. It's got sheepskin lined and all that. Right. But what it is it's an irritant. With the horse, it's kind of reminiscent of back in the days when they were prey animals. Yeah. Here's something around yeah. their abdomen. Yeah. And they got to get rid of it. Now, when I was riding my own horse, I had a double-rigged saddle, which means that it had two cinches on it, the front cinch and the rear cinch, to keep the back of the saddle down. And if that rear cinch slid back a little bit towards the back of the animal, my horse would buck like you wouldn't believe. Right. So it doesn't take much of an irritation to cause that animal to buck from anything around the flank area.
They are. Horses are a sensitive and nervous animal anyhow, are they not?
If you stimulate a horse with a 5,000 volt prod or something like that, they really react. But part of that is because their skin is so thin.
Mm.
But yeah, they're a little more frightened of noises and that sort of things like that.
I see. Just on the subject of calves again, a calf is only good for calf roping so long as he's still a calf. When he doesn't fit the criteria for calf roping, he's off to the works, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, he probably goes, in the States anyway, he would go off to a feedlot, and then he would be fattened, and then he would be, he'd become somebody's T-bone steak. Yeah.
Oh, so that they wouldn't go straight from the rodeo to the works.
Unless they were so badly injured that they had no value, right. You know, they would probably, depends on how bad off they are, but most of them go to feedlots.
The other thing with using animals in rodeo, quite apart from the pain, is the psychological stress. And here again on these sites that I've been looking at, they're saying that the animals are not frightened, they're not terrified, that the horses, for example, revel in their activities. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, I find that a bit laughable because there are some studies out right now where they've measured cortisol to determine whether or not these horses are stressed, and that is a very poor study to determine whether or not an animal is stressed. What you really want to look at is the results of the painful stimuli. There's no horse, I'm sure, that enjoys having spurs driven into its shoulders. Dr. Bay also did another experiment. What he did was he took a horse that had been used for bucking. It was a docile horse. And a 10-year-old child rode that horse around the arena. The horse was rideable. And, you know, when the bucking strap was put on and the spurs were applied to its shoulders, it became a horse that tried to get rid of its rider. So bulls and horses buck a little bit differently. For instance, you don't ever see anybody riding a bull, do you? But
no.
Yet you see plenty of people riding horses.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, cattle seem to have more of a desire to get that rider off their back.
Right.
Horses are trained to accept people
yeah.
to ride them. They have a different disposition. Bulls are more aggressive. They're less docile than horses are. I've seen that when I was doing large animal medicine back in North Dakota. You always had to be a little nervous around a bull. Horses, not so much.
So the anti-rodeo movement in New Zealand is definitely growing, Peggy. And as a result of that, the backlash against this growth is rising as well. You're probably aware that one of our media personalities, Michael Laws, has appointed himself spokesperson for the rodeo people. And I think back in June or July, he spoke to the New Zealand Rodeo Cowboys Association and said if there were no counter measures, then would be gone in 5 years. And as a result, I think they've managed to raise $25,000 in their own campaign against anti-rodeo groups. In fact, he calls the animal activists like you and I, he calls us crazies. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, what's he got? He's supposed to be fighting for the rodeo, and he doesn't have much. He doesn't have the scientific evidence.
Mm.
Granted, he uses Pajor's paper on the cortisol studies, but that cortisol study is so flawed. Also, it's only one study. There was another study that was done in Australia that countered some of the original study in Calgary. Mm. So if he uses that study, he's basing his scientific knowledge on rather flawed information. I'm not an activist. I'm more of a scientist. I'm the one that they go to when they want to find out the facts. They want to know what rodeo does to these animals. They want to know what the pathology is. They want to know what the damage that's done to these animals. I don't think Mr. Laws has any idea about the damage that's been seen in these roping calves after they're used, you know, several times, the damage to the throat and the neck. I don't think he's aware of the real science of exposing these animals to abuse. I think he's using some flawed science there. Mm-hmm. The other thing is he doesn't have much to go on. He's not a rodeo person. I doubt he's ever ridden a bronc out of a chute or anything like that. I think he's a spokesperson, and I think he's a spokesperson that doesn't have much knowledge.
Our thanks to Peggy, to Apollo and to Paul. Be sure to listen to part two of Peggy's interview next week. And don't forget to check our Facebook page, Safe and Sound Radio Show and Podcast. There'll be the link to this interview plus all the details about the Kihi Kihi demonstration. You can also go to Direct Animal Action's Facebook page and click on the events link, and that will also give you all the information that you need. It would be lovely to see some of our listeners there on Saturday the 17th. So that's us for today. Until next time, Matiwa. Bye-bye.